everyone, and welcome to Reconnections Podcast, the show that reconnects entrepreneurship, art, and spirituality. I am Dunia Zilu, and I support human and organizational conscious transformations that contribute to the emergence of a more sustainable and happy world. The intention of Reconnections Podcast is to empower the new generation of changemakers, entrepreneurs, artists, and healers to find the right place through the opening of new flows between entrepreneurship, art, and spirituality. In that perspective, I am honored to interview every Friday an extraordinary guest for a multidimensional talk about reconnecting to self, to the others, and to nature. Thanks for joining us and happy listening. Hello everyone, I'm Dunia Zilu, the host of Reconnections Podcast, and I'm happy to come back after 6 months for a special episode with a special guest that we have today. I have the chance to get Stephanie Smallers as a guest to talk about human design and her journey about how she discovered human design and what is the human design. Many of us are questioning themselves about who we are, what is our purpose in life, and there are many tools that exist that can help us. Personally, I got to know the human design in my journey, and I found this tool very powerful, and it really helped me to better understand who I was and also how to optimize my roles in my entrepreneurship life. So, Stephanie, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me and for sharing that little bit about human design and how you found it and how it helped you. So I'm very grateful to be here.
So am I. Stephanie and I met when we were in Valencia, and we all have many things in common, just to give a bit a kind of background and context. So Stephanie, can you explain to us what was your journey that connected you to human design, and how do you use it today?
Yeah, so I'll have to take you a little bit back to when I first started with my entrepreneurial journey. I was just 19 and I got asked by a friend who had a business in event services, like, hey, I can see that you have certain talents that we are lacking in the business. Can you come on as a co-founder? I was 19 and I was like naive. I was like, yeah, sure, I can do that. I can co-found this business with you, which catapulted me in doing things a different way, because all of my friends were partying and studying and living the life. And I was also living the life, but quite differently. I don't know if you hear this, but
Yeah, it's part of the no worries, we can, no, that's fine. It's part of the life.
Yeah, exactly. I live close to a hospital here in Valencia, so that's why. So I was doing like a lot of work, hustling my way around life, trying to juggle like this business, but it wasn't sustaining me like financially. So I had like other jobs on the side, and it was a lot. On top of that, I also moved out quite early. I had to pay all of my bills. So it was like a very heavy start into my entrepreneurial journey, which kind of launched me into, I have to work hard to earn money. That was the kind of belief that started to happen. Fast forward a few years, I was really done with living in Belgium, having this like stable quote unquote lifestyle. In the meantime, I went back to study. I was a full-time teacher during the day and had the event service company at night and all the weekends. So I basically didn't see my partner. I didn't see my friends if they were not working for me or coming to the events that I was helping with. So I was kind of like, is this my life? Is this what I want? So I decided to sell everything, give away all of my stuff, and pack two suitcases and start to travel the world. In the meantime, I was doing a little bit of everything, mostly marketing, because that was like the biggest role I grew into with the event service company. And people started to ask me, how can you do that? And I was writing a lot and I really love writing. And that's one of the things I later discovered in my human design. And at some point I was invited to a writer's retreat in the middle of France in a really big castle with these like amazing writers who are all authors of books. And there I was with my little blog and my handful of clients, which I was writing content for. So I felt very humble during that retreat. And one of the things that I clearly remember is we were sitting by the fire and one of those amazing people was like, yeah, one of the things that really helped me in my journey of becoming the writer that I am and the entrepreneur that I am is human design. And we were all like, okay, sounds a little bit wishy-washy. Sure, you can talk about it. So she started to explain something. She pulled up our charts and she started talking about me being a projector. That's one of the types within human design. And they are non-energy types. They're more like the laid-back, invite-me kind of people. Here I was, hustling, working hard, having the mindset that my productivity is linked to my income. So I was like, no, I don't believe you. This cannot be me. Like, you're saying all the opposite things. So it was kind of questioning this tool and human design in general and started to research like who found out what is human design, who like designed it basically, and what are the different types and how does this work. And people started to ask me questions about this, and then I started to dive deeper and deeper and understand my design and other people's design. And that really transformed my life because I don't do what I used to do anymore. And that was a really long intro into how I found human design and a little bit my journey into discovering who I am.
That's very interesting. And thanks for sharing that. You're talking about the transformational power of human design and how it changed totally your life. Can you, before diving into the types and stuff, can you tell us exactly what made you change, like, and what changes you made once you discovered your human design?
Yeah, so it took me a while because I wasn't really convinced about this tool. But once I started to research this more and understand this more, I kind of quit my business. So I transformed like my marketing, just a few clients, just me, into an agency with 12 people in my team and around 200 clients. So I was hustling again. And I basically stopped that, let go of my part of the business and started to really dive deep into coaching and really using my gift of holding space, asking questions, being there for people, which I was naturally doing in all my different businesses before, but I just didn't see that. And on top of that, I did a lot of other things in order to prove myself, because just holding space and asking questions for me could not be a real thing. It could not be something I was being paid for. So that was one of the biggest decisions I made after like a realization where I was like, again, this cannot be the life that I want to live, hustling this hard, not taking vacations, being in amazing destinations, but for work. So I decided then and there to let go of everything. I'm the kind of person that says it's all or nothing. So from 1 month to another, I kind of quit all of the things, fell back to zero income, more or less, and had to rebuild myself and my coaching business alongside it.
That's amazing. Congratulations.
Thanks. It wasn't really fun in the process because you see so many things happening and you have to really hold true to your purpose and what you really want to do. So holding that vision for me has been one of the things that has kept me going, because that journey was definitely not easy.
Of course. And thanks for sharing that, because it's also part of the process, because like reinitializing everything from zero, just like going out into an uncomfortable zone to try a new thing. And especially when you leave something without knowing where you're going, might be very, very hard. At the same time, there is a kind of energy, something inside that just like pushes you. And I think that's, yeah, when you mentioned that holding your vision, I think this is very important because it happens to all of us, and especially as entrepreneurs, because sometimes you want to go into a direction and life brings you other things. And at the same time, you might be doing things very naturally with your own gifts, but without having the awareness of it. And because of many beliefs we have, we just like question ourselves. And holding the vision, I think, like also the soul vision about where we want to go, where our soul is here to go, gives a lot of hope, I think, in a journey. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, definitely is one of the things that still to this day, I credit a lot to. Like, I'm very clear, and that is one of the things you can see in my design of what I want and where I want to go. And having that clarity always helps me to make decisions, good decisions, as in, yes, we're going to do this, but also decisions where I'm like, okay, we're going to let this go because it doesn't align with where I want to go, where my soul feels happiest, and what benefits the rest of my community and the world in general. I'm very much into having an impact on the world as well.
Thank you for mentioning that. So maybe for people who are listening to us who would like to know more about the human design, can you explain us how it's been designed and what are the different types of human design that maybe we can deep dive in one or two, maybe yours?
Yeah, definitely. So human design is basically a tool that gives you a blueprint on how you are designed and who you are personality-wise. So it's not like a personality test where you answer questions and you get the answers of how you're viewing yourself, but it's way more of, okay, these are all the talents that you have and that we can see in your chart based on your astrology is what I would call it, because you have to fill in your birth date, your birth hour, your birthplace. And based on that, the software generates a picture of a body with different centers, numbers, colors, lines, all of these things. It can be quite overwhelming the first time you see it. And if you are able to read that, you can see people's like talents, shadows, conditioning that might have happened when they were growing up. You can see growth for them. You can see certain purpose things happening for them, how they can communicate, how they can manifest, and like a lot of different things that you can see in someone's chart. And it's basically a combination of astrology, the I Ching, a little bit the chakras and the Kabbalah tree of life, on top of that with neutrino stream of how that was when you were being designed 3 months before you were born and your actual birth date. And it's one guy who had this download, and this is not something I really align with when it comes to how human design was founded, but it's one guy who called himself Ra Uru Hu, who is basically a Canadian, but was on Ibiza and then had a download of how he could combine all of these systems together into human design. It's quite new. It's not as old as the other systems, but because it's a new kind of mix, a hybrid of all of these things, it can go really in depth. And that is the cool thing about it, because if you have to learn all of these different things, you still have to overlap them and see what the common things are, while human design actually does that for you. So it's way easier to go into depth, and it's not just like, hey, you're a Gemini and here are some traits. It goes like a lot deeper into certain elements. And I personally love the I Ching version of it. One of the offsprings from it is also the Gene Keys. So a lot of people who are into human design also love the Gene Keys, because that's like a different spin-off of the I Ching and of human design.
That's extraordinary. I can make it. That's very powerful in terms of how it is designed. And I find it very powerful because also, like, maybe compared to other more classical and traditional personality tests, it brings another dimension about birth, about astrology, that brings other understanding and light about who we are. I think that's what makes it also a bit like different from what we know.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's that combination that's really powerful in having the different little elements that you can go into depth with. So you asked about the different types. That's often the first thing that you look into when you find out about human design. You fill it, this in the software. It's free, by the way. You just Google human design chart or body graph, and then you can fill in your information and you get like your chart. One of the first things we look at is the type, because there are, depending on who you ask, 4 to 5 different types. And then you have that split up into the energy type. So the people who are immediately connected to their own energy, which is you have an energy type. And then you have the non-energy type. So that basically means they don't have their sacral, which is one of the centers, activated, and they don't have access to their own consistent energy. That doesn't mean one is better than the other. Human design basically has the philosophy that everyone has their unique thing to offer to the world. And the more we step into that, the better we can all work together and really use our own talents to support each other. So, and that's the really beautiful thing that I love about this, is really like loving who you are and using your talents to benefit everyone else around you, even though everyone's completely different. When we work together, we can make this a sustainable society together.
I love the philosophy. And yeah, it's really linked to the one and the vision of Reconnections, because at the end, we're all like humans, like here at the same time to grow together, to bring and contribute to the world, to the future. And it's beautiful when you are aligned with who you are, when you make things naturally, when you mentioned it as well, sometimes just like a deep feeling that is very, very pleasant and brings a lot of fulfillment. So thanks like to you and all the people that are putting light on the human design to make it more well known by people and accessible.
Yeah.
I share my opinion at the same time. I was wondering maybe if you can give us a bit information, because people are unique. And at the same time, the human design offers, like, I think 5, you mentioned some types. Yep. So maybe knowing what are the types and like maybe a few, some little information about each one of them. That would be great. Yeah,
exactly. So when you look at the types, you have 4 to 5 different options that can come up when you get your human design chart. So the most used one, it's not used one, but the one with the most people who have this type are the generators and the manifesting generators. So the generators are an energy type. They are here to do great work. They are very into what they are doing, and they have quite a lot of energy once they're committed to something that they want to do. They have to feel the passion and the joy for what they're doing, because if that is not happening, they can often feel like, why am I spending all of this energy? And they get frustrated. So they're not self-team. So when they know they're not in alignment is when frustration comes on. So for them, it's really, really important to follow joy, to follow what lights them up and really align their energy with that. So when I work with generator clients, it's really finding what in your business is that spark, is that thing that you will do regardless if you're being paid for it or not, that you wake up and you're excited to go doing, because that is the key for you to create a sustainable business. Then you have the type that falls under the generators, which are the manifesting generators. They are a hybrid between 2 different types, the generator and the manifester, but they operate quite similar to a generator. But the added on bonus is that they are like a hyperspeed train. So they go really fast. They skip certain steps. They're like already at step Z when they're just started. So they want to have things done in a super fast way. One of the things that can bring them frustration is that other people go slower or cannot see where they're already headed because there's so many steps ahead. So one of the things I work with when I work with a manifesting generator is allowing them to step into that speed, to go really fast, to embrace the multi-passionate, because a manifesting generator often has different passions in completely opposite fields, multiple businesses, a lot of ideas, a lot of things that they want to keep up in the air. And other people are like, but you have to pick a niche, but you have to stick to one thing, but you're always wishy-washy with the things that you're doing. That's the whole part of having a manifesting generator business, is having the outlet for your energy in different things, because they get bored easily. So we want to move away from putting yourself in a box and really embracing the multifaceted aspects of you. So that's one of the things that then I work with. Then under that, you have the manifestors. They are more rare to encounter as your type. They are here to initiate, to start new things, to be the trailblazers, to create new and exciting opportunities for other types to join into. But they're like holding the torch, lighting the way, and they're like, let's go here. We have to change this. This is not working. Let's go here. So for them, it's often kind of stepping into that power, holding that vision, knowing what you're fighting for, what you're going for is really, really important. And seeing that you want to create new things, you don't have to follow the traditional path. They often have an ebb and flow in creativity. So they have like this creative outburst, and then they can work however long into the middle of the night. And then they have their app where they have to retreat, where their energy is low. So it's not a consistent kind of energy like we would see with a generator or a manifesting generator. They have this like up and down kind of energy. So for them, it's important to learn how to take a step back, to also relax, to trust that things are in motion and they don't have to keep doing the work. They just have to put the light, like, here's where we're going, and then trust that the rest will follow by other people, by outsourcing, by whatever is happening. So you have those. Then we come into the projector, which is a non-energy type. So that's around 20-21% of the population. So you can already see that compared to the generators and the manifesting generators, which is around 67% of the population, having a projector type is less likely. They are the space holders. They are the guides. They are here to maneuver the energy from the energy types into the right channels. So not that it's spending everywhere and on everything. They're basically here to ask a generator or a manifesting generator, what lights you up? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to spend your energy on, so that it's used for the right things and everyone is in their proper place? It's basically they're like the team leader looking at everyone. What are we doing? Where are we going? Like helicoptering over and seeing what is happening. They have to be invited. So one of the things that with projectors, when it comes to marketing or when it comes to having clients, is that invitation is important. Are they feeling seen, invited, and appreciated for their talents? So that is one of the things that I would work on, as to how appreciated do you feel in your business? How can we leverage that more? Do you have enough space for rest and recalibration? Because you're not an energy type, you don't have to be on all the time, which was my biggest lesson, as in you don't have to work for all your money. So that's one of the things as a projector myself that I had to learn. And then we come to the last type, which is the reflector. It's only 1% of the population. So you can see they are basically like the unicorns in our landscape. They are here, like the name says, to reflect everything what is happening. They're like really big mirrors holding it out to everyone, like, please look at yourself. What is happening? And they're reflecting this back to people as to, are you sure this is really where you want to go? And they're really good at vision work. So what is the big picture? What is really something that works for you and that doesn't work for you? So they're excellent at reflecting that back, taking that time, making sure that everything is in its proper place and that they're basically there to just be. Their environment is very, very important for them. The people that around them have a really big impact on how they feel, on how they see themselves, because they are so reflective of others that it's sometimes harder to, who am I? What are my talents? What am I good at? Because they're so in tune with the other that it's really good for them to help them also step back and see that mirror in front of yourself rather than to the other person. So that's one of the things I would do with a reflector. And those are all the types. And I felt like I talked for a really long time, but it's really like only types is something you can have hours and hours of conversations about.
Yeah, but thank you. Thank you for sharing. And it's very interesting. And for all the people listening to us also, I'm sure that it's going to resonate. And I think that's, I'm a manifesting generator. And when you were describing it, I was just like, okay, she's talking about me. So I'm sure for people listening to us that they might identify as well. So it's also important to take the time to explain so people can resonate. And I remember that the day we met, you and I mean, you told me, I think you are a manifesting generator. And when you checked, actually... That was impressive.
Yeah. When people are already quite aligned with their design, it's very obvious to spot. Because you'll talk about all the different ideas that you have, the passions that you have, the energy. Often a manifesting generator is like moving around and you can almost see the energy jumping off of them and the passion for the many different things that they have. So when they're already in tune with who they are, it's way easier to spot that. But for me, for example, when I found out I was a projector, I think no one would have guessed that that was my type because it was so opposite from what I was living. So human design can help you get closer to who you are, but it can also be a little bit of a mirror of, hello, is this really who you are, or have you been conditioned to operate a certain way? Because basically the world is designed for energy types, generators, manifestors. So if you're not an energy type, it can be quite a shock. Actually, most people that I meet that are projectors or reflectors are like, yeah, I had to really come to terms with my type and understanding how I operate best that aligns with my human design, because that's kind of a struggle. The same goes sometimes for generators to really be like, okay, I can be in my own energy. It's important for me to follow what lights me up and not so much what others tell me I should be doing.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. I mean, even personally, when I discovered it and I got into it, and even through your words, for me, human design, it's also a kind of invitation of allowing myself to be who I am, because at the end, it puts also words about how I work, which might not be understood by everyone and might be also criticized or blamed. But at the same time, having this tool saying you are like that and you can be like that, it's just like, okay, it's fine. I'm not hearing anymore. I know I'm like that, and I give my authorizations to be, and I have kind of tools also that kind of recognize it and recognize this difference and type. And for me, that's been very, very, very helpful.
Yeah, I often call it like a permission slip. It can give you a permission slip to be who you are and what you're already feeling without having the guilt or the shame that you might be different because you're supposed to be different.
Yeah, it's exactly that. You're supposed to be different. And for people listening to us who might be interested in human design, I think it's also important to say that there are people like you that are trained to human design, because for our listeners, when you go on internet and you do your human design, you can do it for free and there are many websites, but then it's not really easy to understand and to just like translate in normal world. So having the help, I mean, in my case, it's been like very, I needed to get the help and the light of someone expert in that. So maybe if you can explain to us how you work with entrepreneurs and people to support them understand and make the shift between what the human design says and how they use it in their business life, that would be great.
Yeah. Well, human design is very layered. And within the world of human design people, let's call them that, they tell you it takes around 7 years to really decondition and go through all of the layers of your design. And it's not like, oh, I'll do this once and I'm fixed. The whole point is that you don't need to be fixed. There is nothing broken about you. But it helps to go through your design step by step with someone who can connect all the dots. Because the types is one thing, but then you have the centers, you have your variables, you have your gates, you have your channels, you have your activated, non-activated, you have transits that are happening with the planets. Like, it's a whole thing. Like, you keep on studying. If you're someone like me who is interested in this, you keep discovering new things and studying and deepening your process. But what I really love and what I do with clients is I hold space for them to actually implement certain elements of their design and to question it, to experiment with it, to try different things. So, for example, I have an undefined heart center. So that means the heart center stands for the ego or the willpower, the like, I'll prove myself kind of energy. So when you have that undefined, around 67 or 70% of the population has this undefined. It can be that you're making promises you can't keep. It can be that you're always comparing yourself with others. And that can be something that has a big impact on your business, because if you're always looking at what other people are doing, you're getting further and further away of what's true for you. So when I work with clients and, for example, I see that they have an undefined heart center, that's one of the things, one of the topics I will dig into. How do you look at yourself? Where do you feel that you have to prove yourself? How are you with self-worth? One of the direct aspects of this is your price setting. Like, how are you pricing your offers? Are you feeling valued for the time and effort that you put into something, and is it coming back in energy, in money, in whatever you want to look at this? So those are things that I look at, that I see, and that we work on. So it basically gives me like a magnifying glass on a certain topic, and then we can dive into that. I'm not here to teach you human design and be like, oh, this means this, this means that, because there are other people doing that. But I'm really interested in actually implementing it, coaching you through it, taking the time, taking the effort, reflecting certain things back to you. I'm often really good at seeing what is happening. People or my clients are not seeing what is happening. And for me, I can ask them questions to look at it a different way, to open it up a little bit, to explore it, to dig deeper. And that's something that I do in one-off sessions where we go through your design and I highlight certain elements and we talk through it. As well as when I coach someone long term, we go through this. And for example, when we're creating your offer suite, or when you're doing a launch plan, or when we are creating content, I have in the back of my mind your design, and I will look through the lens of, is this aligned for your design? Is this something that works for you or not? And if it's something that I can see that not works, I'm not going to say you cannot do that, because I don't see human design as something that's limiting or that's the rule and you have to do it that way. But it gives me some guidelines to give other opportunities. So for example, when I'm coaching a generator or a manifesting generator, I'll ask yes and no questions, because it's easier for them to have a yes and no question to answer than an open question. So an example, very stupid, and that you can try if you're a generator or a manifesting generator, and someone asks, what do you want to eat? I don't know. I want to eat all of the things. It's a very open and broad question. So if you're in front of a generator or manifesting generator, or you yourself, and you are unclear on what you want to eat, ask, do I want to eat a salad? Yes, no. Your answer will be immediately, do I want to eat a pizza? That questioning is often already a no. And then you go through the list of all the different options you have to eat, because the more options you have, you can respond to those options, and that will help you get clear on what it is that you want to eat or do or experience or whatever. But those yes and no questions are very, very powerful when it comes to a generator or a manifesting generator.
Thanks for sharing that. It's very, very interesting. I'll try. What's your human design, Stephanie?
I'm a 6-2 self-projected projector. So 6-2 means my profile. That's basically how other people can see me, like the coat that I'm wearing. And I often use profiles in marketing and in branding and positioning. Self-projected is my authority. So that's how I make decisions. Self-projected is a very rare authority to have. Only around 2% of population have that. So might not be as interesting to talk about that part because not a lot of people will recognize that. And the projector then is my type. And those are often things that you'll hear people mention when they talk about human design. It's often profile, authority, and type, because those are the three basic things that you're really going to look at when you're starting with human design.
Super, super.
What is your human design again?
Manifesting generator.
And do you remember your profile and your authority? I'm not sure anymore.
It's been a long time.
I think you had a tree line but in your profile, but I'll have to look that up.
Yeah, it's been a long time, so yeah. I don't remember. I don't remember. But thanks for sharing. Can you share with us some success stories about entrepreneurs that changed totally their business thanks to human design and that are more happy, aligned, and fulfilled now?
Yeah, I always love this question because for me, success is very broad and different than how other people see it. So I want to start with some clients that have completely stopped or quit their business, because for me, sometimes that's also a success, especially if they're holding on to something that isn't serving them anymore. So that's something I've seen happen where people, when they find human design and they get into it and they explore it more, they see that something that they're doing is not really for them. And they take that bold action to be like, okay, I'm going to make the decision to not do this anymore and go somewhere else. I see that happening quite often, actually, or at least that they let go certain elements within their business or certain things that they feel that they have to do. Another really cool example that I love seeing, because I get to see it up close, is a manifester who has a product business. So she's very successful in selling her products. She creates them, she makes them, she's the creative designer behind it, and that works really well, but it wasn't a full outlet for her to explore her creative urges and share her unique views on, for example, branding and positioning. So what she's done after exploring her human design, and we had a session together, is she basically had like an aha moment and started to use her personal brand to sell info products, to sell courses. And within her first launch, she had like 60 people, which is probably around a 50,000 euro launch immediately, because she is so lit up at what she's talking about. And she's so following her manifestor. Here's where we're going. This is what needs to change. Let's create a revolution together, that people were like, yes, girl, I want to be in this bubble with you. And that was very beautiful to see how she did that, while already having a very successful brand, but using her voice to create the change she wants to see in the industry of branding and creating your business and really following what works for you. So that was very, very cool to see. Last example of what's really cool to see is a 1-3 generator. So the 1-3 profile is the experts, the deep diver, the detailed version, and they have to experiment and try and implement the things that they're researching. So one of my clients, she has very different interests, and she goes really deep, and she has a lot of knowledge and a lot of details. And she was like, I can't do anything with that. I'm like, you can put it in an ebook, you can sell it in a course. It's like, you already have all of the research. Let's experiment with you with different angles on how you can package it and actually sell it. And now that is her most successful element of her business, is when she's into a topic, she just learns it, she experiments experiments with it, puts it into an audio because we've discovered that that's the best thing that works for her, or an ebook. So no video courses, no super complex kind of launches. It's just, here's the thing I'm interested in. Read my passion, because she's very passionate about it. And then here you can buy it. Link, boom, done. And it works amazingly. There's nothing complex about it, but she gets to sell her passion, which is really, really cool.
It is. It is. Well, it's very, it's very nice to hear those stories, because at the end, it's also changing the perception we might have about just like being reconnected to ourselves, helps us also make a business that works just being ourselves.
Yeah. Just being ourselves. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be complicated. It can be quite easy, but we often see that other people have like complex funnels or do like a lot of things, or they seem like they have a certain structure and it's successful. So I have to be and do it that way. Otherwise I can't be successful. And that's one of the stereotypes I'm trying to break. You can be successful on your own way, and it can look and feel really good for you. And really embodying that is something I'm very, very passionate about.
That's amazing. Well, in this podcast, there is also a part that we like to talk about the future, how to contribute to the future for humanity. And when you talk about human design, I'm wondering if it's a tool that is used in schools, universities, maybe in some like startup accelerators for entrepreneurs. So are there organizations and systems that offer these tools to people?
Probably, and I hope so. But it's only fairly recently it's getting the traction that it is getting now. It's getting more and more popular. And as an ex-teacher myself, I really hope it's going to get into schools and universities. What I am seeing that is happening is people who are being an expert in using human design with your children. So if you're a parent, you can really look at your child's human design and parent for that specific tiny human. And that's beautiful for me to see. And I've seen people use that kind of information and go back to the teacher and being like, hey, my child could really benefit from this or from this or from this. And that's like little by little seeping into the system. It's not mainstream yet, but that could be really cool. There is an aspect within human design where you can look at teams and how people operate together. And that's something that is being used in businesses, in startups, where you basically have a human design consultant who comes and looks at the team dynamics and can put people in the right places, but also how to manage certain people within your team. So that's really, really cool to see how that's being used. And I have some clients who have teams as well, where I can do like little bits of like, hey, maybe you can ask her this way, or maybe you can ask her about this talent if that's something she recognizes and she could be of use in other elements of your business. It's not my expertise to look at teams in that kind of scale, because it's very specific, but it is being used, and I love it as a tool and see how much interesting conversations it can spark and change it can give to a company or a business.
That's amazing. Thanks for that. And yeah, we are in a special period as well. Yeah. That is going through many changes, and having those tools can help the change to make it like smoother and in a better way. So I think it's important also to talk about those tools, that they exist and that they can help. So thanks for that.
Yeah, thank you for asking. I would love to see this more mainstream, and that companies and schools and the future generation actually gets to use this, so we can more quickly become who we are meant to be and really step into our own unique being, so that each and everyone is at the right spot and what is right. I can have a whole conversation about that, but to already have the tools to be who you want to be and who you feel you are, without going through the conditioning and all of those things. So we can all, yeah, give more to humanity and to the world.
Totally. And I think that, I mean, human design is a tool that has totally a place in organizations. One of the tools I'm using with my clients is the Ikigai, yep, which is another one. And I got the opportunity to make some trainings in schools for students between 16 and 25 years old to help them find their professional trajectory through the Ikigai. So this is an openness there starts to be, and I think that human design also will be very welcome. And I mean, when I was a student, I wish I had a class about human design to find myself. And I think it could have been very helpful and would have helped me make some decisions maybe differently and with more awareness.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that you did that with Ikigai. I think it's such a really cool tool to see what am I good at, what can I use, where do I want to go with my life. So thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. We all grow together and like doors opening together. So Stephanie, I mean, we can talk hours and hours about each part, though we're going to be running out of time. So thank you so much for being with us today and giving us all this information about the human design and your own journey. Is there anything you would like to share before we end?
Thank you for listening and thank you for having me. It's already a really big step if you're open to look at yourself and taking the time to use different tools to get closer to yourself. And that alone, I applaud really, really well, really loud, because it takes effort to develop yourself. And as an entrepreneur or a business owner, that's definitely something no one tells you when you start your business, that it's like a personal development roller coaster. So I'm really always super excited when people take that step to go deeper into their own development. So that's maybe something that I want to share. Like, I see you and I know how much time and effort it takes to run your business on top of discovering and getting mirrors of yourself along the process.
Well, thank you so much, Stephanie. And thanks everyone for listening to this episode about human design. So speak to you soon and see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
What was the value of this episode for you? If you feel the call for this exercise, I invite you to pause this audio and take a time to note what comes to your mind. Thanks for listening to Reconnections Podcast, the show that reconnects entrepreneurship, art, and spirituality. If you want to join our tribe to share your impressions or to support us, I invite you to head over to our website www.reconnectionspodcast.com to check out the different ways we can co-create together and keep on growing this podcast. If you think this episode might benefit someone around you, don't hesitate to talk about it and share it. If you think it's been useful for you in one way or another, don't forget to leave us a rating and review. Thanks again, and I'll see you at the next episode.